Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace which leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would free our minds, that we might think on you, Lord, that we might dwell on you, and that we would be open to what you have to say to us as we worship. And Lord, I pray that the words of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you'd like to take out of your bulletin, there is a sermon notes sheet for fill in the blank. Also, there are some meditations on the inside that you can follow throughout the week as we continue to go through the sermon series. And if you're listening online, there's a little icon that says PDF. It contains these sermon notes and the meditations. Life. To live life. A good life. A fun life. A godly life. And most often as we live life, we live it in the physical realm. On this side of the curtain, this side of the curtain that separates us from the spiritual realm. That's where we tend to live life. What? Many people might say. There's a spiritual realm? Yes, and last week we began to pull back the curtain just a little bit to peek into the spiritual realm. You know, the action that takes place in the unseen, where we cannot see with physical eyes, but only with spiritual eyes. And if you remember last week, we noted this scripture, our power scripture of this sermon series. Read it with me, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we're reminded on how Jesus, or about Jesus, who is the good shepherd, says that he comes to give us life, and the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, this is one of those verses you want to tuck away in your heart because it reminds you that there is an unseen, that there is an unseen place. It also reminds us who's got our back. This reminds me that the other night I was told that there was a spider downstairs with my name on it. And it was huge. So I went downstairs with a tissue. Then I went back upstairs to get something bigger. It was huge. I took a picture of it and I posted it on Facebook. And so here's my warning. Don't look at the screen if you don't want to see my spider. There it is. That's not very big. Let me enlarge it for you. It was huge. We were thinking it could be a brown recluse, and that's not something to mess with. If you know anything about brown recluses, their venom will tear away your flesh pretty quickly, and it could be deadly. But I learned later that the two stripes around its abdomen and head, and it having no violin shape behind its neck, said it's not a brown recluse, it's probably a wolf spider. That made me happy. But at the moment, I did not know, and that spider began to look really big to me. I was outwardly trying to remain calm, while inside I was intimidated by this really huge spider. And for a wolf spider, it's not really a biter, it doesn't attack, it's not aggressive unless provoked. Of course, I was about to provoke it. So I took the toe of the shoe I had, unfortunately it wasn't a real solid shoe, and right between the crevice of where the wall and the floor meet, I jabbed at it. This was my last post. Neither is very comforting, as I missed hitting it full on with my first jab at it. And as such, it made it back into the crevice. Darn. Now I'm a little bit creeped out. I was better off ignorant. I don't know about you, but the hair on the back of my neck and the chills down my spine, just thinking about it, is creepy. And like I stated, I was probably better off ignorant. I don't want to go downstairs anymore. Now, when we come to the subject of what's behind the curtain between the physical and the spiritual realm, I find it too can be a bit creepy. And sometimes as Christians, I would rather remain ignorant of what's going on behind the curtain. How's that phrase go? Ignorance is bliss. To not know what's really going on allows us to remain at rest or at peace. But let us note that as Christians, we should not remain ignorant. As Christians, should we really remain ignorant about what goes on behind the curtain? Because what goes on behind the curtain in the spiritual realm impacts what goes on in front of the curtain in the physical realm. Look at what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus this morning. Read it with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. When we realize that there is a battle being waged for our very souls, we must also realize that God is not only there to strengthen us, but also to fight for us. And God gives us both defensive and offensive weapons for the war against our soul. God tells us to be strong, but we must note that our strength comes from the Lord and His mighty power. Our strength comes from the Lord and His mighty power. And if we're not tight with the Lord, don't you think we might miss out on some of that power? We're never alone in this spiritual battle. We're with God. God is our protector. God is our defender. God is the source of our strength. Now, Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 6:12, read it with me. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Where? In the heavenly realms. What's behind the curtain? What remains oftentimes unseen? And Paul puts this chill down our back when he says that our struggle is not against the physical. Our struggles are against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of the heavenly realm. Somewhere we want to ignore or whitewash this. Sometimes we want to ignore or whitewash this whole idea of spiritual demons in this world. Another apostle, the apostle Peter, put it this way. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in what? Your faith. Standing firm in your faith. He goes on to say, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Wow, that's interesting, because now I find that I'm not fighting on my own, but that we are all, as followers of Jesus Christ, experiencing suffering at the hand of something that is unseen. James, the brother of Jesus, goes on and writes it this way. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Interesting, isn't it? Resist the devil, and he must flee from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Paul says, put on the full armor of God and take a stand against the devil. Peter says, resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. Resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. And James says, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. Each of these three men of God warning us about the spiritual realm. I met Doug about 20 years ago. Doug told me the family he grew up wasn't very spiritually minded. In fact, he said that they only worshiped on Christmas and Easter. He told me that his mother could speak like a sailor, probably besting many in her colorful language. And when Doug was 24 years old, his father took ill and was in the hospital. And as Doug puts it, he was on his deathbed. At that time, Doug didn't really have much understanding of God, but he found the chapel in the hospital, and he went and prayed and asked God to heal his dad. Unfortunately, his dad died the next day, and with it, Doug said, God went out the window. God went out the window. In fact, he said he was angry with God, and so began a 19-year journey away from God. Now let me pause in this story and look at the battle in the spiritual realm for Doug's soul. First, Doug's mom, believer or not, set him up to become a casual observer of God. A casual observer of God. God is at our beck and call. We go to God only when we are in need. And when Doug believes God fails, when he opens the genie up of God and the genie doesn't deliver, he says he doesn't need the genie anymore. He doesn't need God. You see the lies that Doug is believing, that he doesn't need God? You see, Doug doesn't know he needs to lean into God and to trust God and to stand firm in his faith, what little faith he might have had, and to resist the devil's word that are being poured into his head, that God is worthless. That God doesn't love you, God doesn't hear you, and God does not care one iota about you. How many people know someone that says those kinds of words? That God doesn't matter, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't hear us anyway. You see, their ears are stopped up by the evil one to keep God at a distance. So when Doug's dad dies, Doug got angry at God. Now, in the spiritual realm, do you think God wants Doug to be angry? No. Do you think that Doug wants to live a life of anger? No. Do you think that the devil, who wants us not to worship God or to come into relationship with God, wants Doug to be angry at God? Yes. Yes. So for 19 years, Doug continued to live without God, or he ignored God, keeping his distance. Now, Doug was a good guy. I really liked Doug. He served for 22 years in the juvenile and probate court system, and he had a family. He loved his family. They had three beautiful little kids, and when they went out or couldn't get home from work, they had a friend, a lady, an older lady who would come over and watch the kids. Just a kind of a nice setup. Now look how God's about to work in Doug's life. This older lady who had great faith in God would invite Doug's kids to Sunday school, and Doug would say, "No way. No way. It's just a ploy to get me to church." See, it's all about Doug, right? But finally, Doug relented, and his kids would go to Sunday school and at times sing in what was called the cherub choir, a little kid's choir. Now, listen to why Doug let his kids go to church. His words, not mine. Ready? "It's helpful for them to have some knowledge of God so they can deny God for themselves." So they can deny God for themselves. Who's working in Doug's life? I can tell you that the anger Doug had for God was still burning, still simmering in his heart, because of what he perceived to be unanswered prayer. A God who didn't care. A God who didn't listen. But this woman, who again had great faith, simply invited the kids to Sunday school. And that was Doug's initial stage to truly experience God. Initial stage to really experiencing God for the first time. Now, in the spiritual realm, again, behind the curtain, what do you think was going on? Understand, the Spirit of God is always at work wooing people to God, drawing people to God, always at work. And the devil is always at work in Doug's mind in this case to keep his anger at God always simmering, close to that boiling point. So when he needs to turn up the heat, he just reminds Doug how much God could care less. we need to note that in the spiritual realm, the devil uses Doug's anger. The devil uses Doug's anger to keep him away from God. So when the sitter invites Doug's kids to Sunday school, do you think in the spiritual realm God wants his kids in Sunday school? Absolutely. Do you think the devil wanted his kids to go to Sunday school to potentially come into relationship with God? No. When we look at it from a spiritual angle, God will encourage people to come to himself, and so we need to note the devil will do what he can to nurture resistance, to the Holy Spirit, attempting always to draw people away from God, not toward God. You see, when you look behind the curtain, there's a battle waging for the soul of Doug and now Doug's family. After all, most children will follow the example of their parents for a long time once they become more independent. Unless something upsets the balance in their life and they will naturally move out or call out to a higher power for help. You see, the Holy Spirit is always there, always at work, trying to draw people to themselves. Back to Doug's story. Now, Doug would sometimes go to service when his kids sang in the choir, and one weekend, about a year later, when they sang, his wife was out of town, and so he was forced to go to church by himself. Trust me, he said, I didn't want to go. I imagine that through that year, Doug was as resistant as he could be to God. He was just going again to hear his children sing. Remember, hopefully the kids will have some knowledge of God so they can deny God for themselves, right? That certainly is not a godly goal now, is it? As the kids sang that morning, Doug told me he began to cry. He felt that he didn't belong there and that the roof of the church would fall in. How many times have you heard someone say that? If I walked into the church, the roof would cave in on me. Because he was there. He was trying to be angry with God. He didn't know why he was crying, but then he felt an embrace. He said it was so real that he turned around and looked in the pew behind him to see who was touching him. He said he looked and the couple behind him was staring straight past him, looking at the cherub choir as they sang. And he realized that no one physically was embracing him. And he came to the conclusion that he was being embraced by God. He said, it was the embrace of Jesus. You see, God had broken through to Doug that day, and Doug began to let go of the very anger that he had at God, the wall that he had erected to keep God out. In the spiritual realm, the devil was losing the battle for Doug's allegiance to anything but God. Sure, there would be more walls for Doug to break down, but this was the tipping point for Doug to come from where he was with God to a new place with God, to give his anger to God, to receive God's love, to receive God's peace, to receive God's embrace. You see, our fight is not against our fight is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, it can be creepy. And it can raise the hair on the back of your neck to think that there's a battle that is being fought for your very soul that goes on in the spiritual realm and that we cannot see without spiritual eyes. Over time, Doug would continue to release his anger at God, and in fact, Doug would begin to at first get to know God by attending worship, but getting into God's Word and coming to know the truth about who God really was. And then Doug would begin to love God and then begin to serve God in various forms of ministry through the church. And in fact, Doug eventually answered a call to full-time ministry as a pastor now in the United Methodist Church. And today his youngest son, who's in his mid-20s, his youngest son is also in full-time youth ministry. We need to note that a faithful woman's invitation changed the spiritual course for this family. changed the spiritual course for this family. Simply inviting the children to church caused a battle in the spiritual realm for the soul of a man and his family to change a course that has had eternal consequences, not only for Doug and his family, but for the people that Doug ministers to and the people that his son ministers to. Think of how the tree, the spiritual tree, is getting larger because of their faithfulness, their willingness to stand for the truth of God. This week I'd like you to begin looking at the verses in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God, and to begin to think how you can begin to, first, one, better understand and utilize the armor. Better understand and utilize the armor of God by Googling and reading up on each part. And I put a website on there. It's called godquestions.org. They have a wonderful website that will answer a lot of various biblical questions that you might have. And simply in the search box, type in armor of God. And it'll give you a ton sounds like a lot, right? A ton of little short snippets that you can read about the armor. It's not going to be 6 or 7 screens and you get halfway through and you're like, really? But it's going to be very specific stuff and it's going to point you to the Bible. And by following along in the meditations this week, you can also review 2 pieces of the armor at a time so that you don't feel like you have to do it all in one setting. Number 2, this will be unique for many of you. Number 2, in your prayer time each day, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Take up the shield of faith and put on the helmet of salvation. And then begin to know the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You may not completely understand each part's full purpose, but I believe God will give you an understanding over time. It's a journey. It doesn't come all at once. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start sometime. And then as you obey God, you will find more freedom to live life with joy, to live life in peace, knowing that you are equipping yourself to fight in the spiritual realm. God has got a mighty church. The song says, a bulwark that never fails. And we want to be one of those soldiers that's standing on the top, fighting the good fight. Amen? So you got to do something then. Because if you don't do something, nothing will happen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you have set us up to succeed. And Lord, that you show us how we can succeed through the Scriptures, the truth. And so God, as we lean into you, this week, as we invest ourselves in knowing more of what you have provided for us in this spiritual battle, God, that you will equip us. Equip us with knowledge. Equip us so that we can love you more. Equip us so that we can serve you better. Equip us that we might find joy, that we might find peace, that we might find rest in you in this life and in the life to come. And all God's people said,